are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I'm your host, Handy. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. You are now tuning into the Eagle Sports Zone. That's Eagle FM's very own in-house sporting program where we discuss all things sport-related. And today, on the Eagle Sports Zone, we're going to discuss broadcasting rights. Why are we discussing broadcasting rights today? You know, there's been several developments happening in Namibia in regards to broadcasting rights in the footballing world in particular. So we'll dive into that a little bit and, you'll see in a few minutes why we're discussing broadcasting rights. We're not gonna, you know, we've discussed broadcast rights before. We've discussed what they are, how important they are, so on and so on. So it won't necessarily be about that, but it's gonna be very locally based. Okay, very locally focused, very close to home, so I should say. You know, we had a few guests lined up, but they had to pull out at the last minute, but fear not, this is a conversation we can have by ourselves. And of course, as usual, if you'd like to join in, simply dial our studio number at 0832-888-401, that's 0832-888-401. One, you can call in with any questions, concerns, comments, opinions. We welcome them all on the Eagle Sports Zone. But as usual, we will first start with some local sporting news. But before I get to the local sporting news, you know, some hot things are happening in the Namibian Premier League. Before I get to that, I have to let you know to make sure that you're following all of our social media pages. That is Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, on Instagram, on X, on LinkedIn. We have a WhatsApp channel as well. If you'd like to receive the link to that WhatsApp channel, simply send a WhatsApp message. That is to 0812004144. That's 0812004144. That you'd like to become a subscriber. That is also the same number that you become a subscriber with to the Villager newspaper. So if you haven't become a subscriber yet, send us a message on that number. Make sure to save the number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday you can receive the Villager for free, free of charge, directly to your mobile device. Include your email address as well if you'd like to receive it via email. And of course, tomorrow is Monday, meaning that the latest edition will be out bright and early for you tomorrow morning. And so, let's get right into it. Let's start with some local sporting news. That is the Namibian Premier League. That is the Namibian Premier League. We will start with, we had rounds 25 and 26 this weekend. So let's start with round 25. We'll start with 11 Arrows up against Mighty Gunners, that ended up 0-0. FC Ongos against Chula Chula, that ended 0-0 as well. Julinho collected a crucial 3 points up against Young African, beating them 2-1. Okahandja United beat Commerce Nampo yesterday 3-0, and Blue Waters thrashed Life Fighters 5-0. The Clever Boys, that is Unam FC, beat KK Palace 2-1, and then in rounding up that round of fixtures was Rundu Chiefs up against Tigers FC. That ended in a 1-1 draw. So after that round of matches, this is what the table looked like. We'll just do the top three and the bottom three. After that round, that was before today's fixtures, we had Chula Chula leading the top of the table on 48 points with 25 matches played. African Stars, defending champions, in second place, 25 matches played at 47 points. In third place is FC Ongos, 25 matches played on 44 points. So a tight top three. And then rounding off the top four was KK Palace on 38 points with 25 matches played. In the bottom three, at the very bottom, you have Life Fighters on 17 points. Things are getting pretty dark for Life Fighters, I might say. All but relegated. being truthfully honest. And then in 15th place, you have Tigers on the 21 points. And in 14th, you had Rundu Chiefs on the 24 points as... On 24 points, yes. And so today's round of fixtures in the Namibian Premier League. You had Blue Waters up against Mighty Gunners. Blue Waters taking that one at 2-1. The next fixture, you have UNAM FC faced off against Chula Chula in, as we saw on various social media pages, how packed that was. That was good to see. You know, a packed house for Namibian football. That ended in a 1-1 draw. FC Ongos lost to KK Palace by 2-0. Rundu Chiefs and Young African played to a 1-1 draw. The Bucks Buccaneers beat Commerce Nampol 1-0. Julinho Athletic beating Tigers 1-0. So Julinho actually picked up 6 points this weekend. And then Okahandja United and defending champions African Stars. African Stars taking that 1-3. With the final fixture of the weekend, that is 11 Arrows taking on Life Fighters. That fixture ending 1-1. And so, let me see if we have a table, the latest table for you. Consult my trusted sources. Okay, at the moment there's no updated table yet. But if I do some quick mental mathematics, never mind, our sources have come through. So what we have here now, the latest Namibian Premier League table is African Stars leads the table on 50 points. Chula Chula in second on 49 points. And in third is still FC Ongos on 44 points. So a crucial 2 points dropped by Chula Chula against UNAM today. And then in fourth place, you still have KK Palace on 41 points. Julinho all the way up to eighth now after spending some time in the relegation zone earlier this season. And the bottom three is still unchanged with Life Fighters now on 18 points, followed by Tigers on 21 points. And in 14th place, we have Rundu Chiefs on 25 points. So things are heating up in the Namibian Premier League. Most teams only have 4 matches left to play. So a crucial 12 points, both in the title race and in the relegation zone in the Namibian Premier League. Now on the other side of this short commercial break, we will continue with some more local sporting news before we head into the international and then before we head into our topic of today. Remember, you can call into the studio at any time at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. We will be right back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Geno wapumbwa Eva tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite ofoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And in our last bit of local sporting news, we have a few Namibians competing in the APSA Cape Epic. This is a 7-day cycling event taking place in the mountains of Cape Town, running from the 15th of March until the 22nd. We have several prominent riders, including our very own Vera Lusa, Olympian, Jackie Jackie Shipena, and Yana von Buckstrom are representing Namibia currently in the APSA Cape Epic, a grueling challenge of both mental and physical endurance on the bicycle. So it's good to see us having some representation there. And then in some more positive news as well, you know, the basic sporting facilities, the ones that have been promised for each constituency, there's at least one now beginning in each region, on paper at least. The money has been dispersed from the ministry, and the various governor's offices have now been handed the ball to say, the ball is in your court, put up this facility, maintain this facility, and let the community benefit from said facility. That's all really that happened this weekend in terms of local sports. Things are slowly picking up in the other sports. Some of the other sports are on break. Some other sports didn't have anything happening today. Or this weekend rather, excuse me. Actually, some more local sporting news. The very first senior tennis tournament took place this weekend. This was in Olympia. And the mixed doubles champions of that were Joannivia Besaidenhout and SP van Wyk were crowned the mixed doubles champions at the very first senior tennis tournament. And the singles were won by Lorenzo Dunster. He actually played against Joannivia Besaidenhout. And, yes. That is all we have in terms of local sporting news. So let us move on to the English Premier League. That is in full swing. The title charge, or the title race rather, is in full swing with some interesting things happening this weekend. We'll start with the Blues. The Blues actually had a blue Saturday because they lost. We're talking about Chelsea. They lost 1-0 to Newcastle at home. Anthony Gordon with a goal early in the match to give Newcastle a 1-0 victory. The Gunners, that is Arsenal, who are leading the table, I'll tell you by how many points in just a moment, they beat Everton 2-0. And then the chasing team, the defending, not the defending champions, but the team many thought would win the league this year, that is Manchester City. They drew 1-1 against West Ham United. Manchester United, on the other side of Manchester, just beat Aston Villa 3-1. And then to round off the day, we will have Liverpool facing off against Tottenham Hotspur. That is at 6:30. So as things change in that fixture, I will keep you up to date. And in terms of the league table, you now have Arsenal at the top of the table on 70 points, 31 matches played. Manchester City, who have a game in hand over Arsenal, they have played 30 matches and are on 61 points. So the gap is now 9 points in the title race. And in third place is the Red Devils. That is Manchester United, 30 matches played, 54 points. With a crucial victory over Aston Villa today. Crucial because right behind them is Aston Villa in fourth place on 51 points. And a crucial loss for Chelsea, because they are trailing Aston Villa in fifth place on 48 points. And so a big, big fixture for Liverpool, who are the defending champions, who are in sixth place, level on points currently with Chelsea against Tottenham Hotspur. So should they win, they will climb up to fifth place. Tottenham, a big, big fixture for them as well, because they are on 29 points, all the way down in 16th, level on points with 17th place, Nottingham Forest, who are also level on points with 18th place, West Ham United. So all three of those teams are currently in a serious relegation battle, with Wolves and Burnley all but relegated on 16 and 20 points respectively. So, currently Barcelona is also currently playing 3-1 at halftime right now. As things stand in La Liga, you have Barcelona on 70 points, 28 matches played. Real Madrid at 28 matches played on 66 points. Barcelona have been leading all season long in the La Liga race, and they don't seem to be slowing down any time soon. So we're going to take a quick musical break, and on the other side of this, we'll get into our conversation today about broadcasting rights in the land of the brave. We'll be back on the other side of this musical break, brought to you by none other than the man himself.
trying to do over there. Never them a come, never them a wanna go. Yes, I may say you this and that. Yes, I may preach you this and that. But you forgot the biggest party over there. Respect to maximum jagged. May the rasta far right with another combination. Look at me dressed and I'm going crazy. I'm smoking in ganja every day on the place. Yes, here we tell the big up.
FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Dear listener, the
you are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as I promised today, we're going to be discussing broadcasting rights. And the reason I wanted to discuss this is I saw something interesting during the week. This was a statement from Chula Chula, and it read as the following. This statement was about broadcasting rights, essentially. And in this statement, they said the following. They said, okay, official announcement from Eshoke Chula Chula on One Africa TV live streaming and Omlunga SMS promotions regarding Chula Chula weekend matches. Now, disclaimer, today's conversation, unfortunately, I'm going to be talking about, other media entities that aren't Eagle FM. Not because I want to pick pick on them or anything like that, but that's just the situation that's at hand here. It involves other media entities, right? And it says the following. It has come to our attention that One Africa TV is using Chula Chula logo on Carling Black Label posters to promote live TV streams of our matches against Mighty Gunners FC and Light Fighters FC, scheduled for this weekend at the Oshakati Independence Stadium. This was released on the 6th of March, right? We want to make it clear that no agreement exists between One Africa TV and our management regarding this live streaming and promotion. We advise our supporters to disregard this live streaming and the SMS competition on Omlunga Radio, which is, okay, I won't say what the promotion is. We do not authorize the free live streaming of our games as it does not benefit our team. Chula Chula is proudly sponsored by PSD Bet, and we will take action regarding this unauthorized use of our name and logo. Join us at the Oshakati Independence Stadium, so and so on, basically saying come and support us. Right? Now, this is also on the backdrop of, if you've been following these other media houses as well, the chairman of African Stars, undoubtedly the biggest team currently, football team currently in our nation, defending champions, have won the league countless numbers of times, who also have a long-standing history, but it was reignited again this year about this issue of broadcasting rights in Namibia, in Namibian sports, right? And basically, what African Stars' issue was this year, and has been for some time, is when we talk about the national broadcaster, and we're talking about also now One Africa TV, when they make these, I put this in quotes now, make these matches available for the public to view, for us to view, whether it's on TV or whether it's to stream on whatever platform, on our phones, on our computers, and so on. When this happens, the teams that are involved get a total of $0 and 0 Namibian cents in compensation, right? And this, you know, on the surface, it might not seem like such a big issue, because that's how it's always been in Namibia, unfortunately. That's just how things have been. But lately, you know, everyone has this, everyone's favorite word in the sporting world has been professionalization. Everyone has been talking about sport as a revenue generator. Everyone has been talking about sport as an economy. But that's really where it has ended when it comes to this topic. It's just talking. You know, I don't know who introduced the word professionalization to the masses when it comes to sport. It's a good thing, but also it's a bad thing, because that's where it ends. We just talk about professionalization. We talk about what it could be, you know, what's possible, how nice it is. We talk about our neighbor, South Africa, and so on. But when we come back home and we look at what's happening on the ground, there's very little, if anything at all, being done in regard to professionalization. Of course, we have our few leading sport codes. You know, that's your cricket, that's your cycling, that's your, I don't know if we can put swimming in there yet. That's maybe we can even say a bit netball. You know, these are entities that are doing work when it comes to professionalization, tangible work that we can see. They're not just talking. But unfortunately, these also aren't the most popular sports in Namibia. So a lot of people don't know what's happening when it comes to professionalization in cricket, for example. Right? Even though they have the perfect, and I'm using that word intentionally, perfect model when it comes to using your sport to generate revenue, whether that's the stadium, whether that's their broadcasting rights, which is what we're talking about today, and whether that's the professional setup of their players from the developmental path to the senior team, which is a fully professional, right? So let's exclude cricket. We're talking about the other sports, the sports that most of you listening are familiar with, and that is football. And like I said, I'm not going to go into too many details about broadcasting rights, right? Because we did that already. We did the whole, how much are broadcasting rights worth? What are they? So on. But when we talk about this word, the professionalization of sport, when you say something is professionalized, it means, for lack of a better phrase, it means you're earning money from that, right? And the biggest, undoubtedly, this is not my opinion, this is just a fact, the biggest revenue generator in sports, the reason why you see teams being able to sign, you know, players for $100 million. You see in other leagues in America, you see guys getting $100 million contracts, in even in South Africa. Wherever in the world where you see athletes making millions and millions and millions of dollars or whatever their national currency is, the main revenue driver, as in the one that collects the most money, is broadcasting rights. Again, it's not my opinion. This is a fact, right? And of course, there's other things that various leagues and teams benefit from as well. But the main one, the most valuable one, is broadcasting rights. Okay? Second behind that would be naming rights of stadiums, would be naming rights of leagues, would be, yeah, all those kind of things. If you'd like to listen on the few, I'll call them lectures we've had regarding to those topics, go to the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Go to the podcast section and just type in Eagle Sports Zone rights. You know, there's a few shows we did on this. We dived deep into this topic. Okay. You can do the same on the mobile application as well. That's free to download on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Type in Eagle FM Namibia. Anyways, so when we talk about professionalization, I don't really see, okay, a world where we're parading this term professionalization, we're parading this term revenue generator, without having things like broadcasting rights in place. Because then my question becomes, where's the money coming from to turn some of these things professional? And again, if we look at cricket, that's why I said it's the perfect model. The reason cricket players in this nation are professional is because they generate revenue. How do they generate revenue? They sell broadcast rights. Who do they sell broadcast rights to? It's primarily to the Asian markets, right? Because that's where all the cricket fans in the world are, is the Asian markets. There's a reason you don't see cricket matches on NBC. There's a reason, for the most part, you don't see them on One Africa TV. Not because cricket, you know, doesn't want to show us these matches. But the primary reason is because these entities don't pay for broadcasting rights. They simply don't. And this statement from Chula Chula is proof of that. And the comments that we hear from the African Stars chairman is proof of that as well. You know, I have, as a member of the media, of course, I'm privy to certain information, but now I'm going to only talk about the public evidence that we have on this topic, is these entities don't pay for broadcasting rights. Because if they did, this statement from Chula Chula wouldn't happen. And this is something that the African Stars chairman, Mr. Salim Mohey, also spoke about recently. He said, look, when you guys put our matches on TV, we're not getting anything in return. You know, gone are the days where you can say where these entities can go to these teams because they now have smarter people in place, like Mr. Hay, who is an economist by trade. Chula Chula, I'm not sure who's on that backroom stuff, but it's clearly someone with a certain level of knowledge, right? Gone are the days where you can say, oh, you're going to get exposure from this, or, well, you know, that's not enough anymore. No one eats exposure. No club can sign a player, let's say a foreign player or even a local player, with exposure. You know, you can't deposit exposure in a bank account. A team can't pay its bus driver with exposure. You get where I'm going with this, right? So here's what happens, and here's what the problem is, and why I think this needs to be elevated to, you know, whether it's members of parliament or the people in charge, basically, you know, in the people who put together, might I add, also the The Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan and the National Development Plan, the sixth one. You know, cause, like I said, the term professionalization of sport is in these things. So I don't see how we're going to achieve this when things like this are happening to our local sports teams. To some of our local sports teams. What happens is, let me give you some insight. Let me break the fourth wall for you guys here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Right? When it comes to how these matches are made available to the public in Namibia. If we take this, One Africa and, Umlunga Radio thing as an example, like the statement said, their matches that they're making available to the league are sponsored. And on the other side, we have a commercial coming up, so we'll get into it on the other side of this commercial break.
Egameno jomau yerere koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsakadhi wapau teknika, oliriwo omkundu wapashigwana, upsakadhi wapaliko, no hashivuro okuya moshipara, uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshinimo mtumba go Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvomao vigajo miongo mbalina hamano. Iikondo epangero mahanga no wapau mwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa, muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa metete. Kero esikwa mirongo mbali naga risiko mbali naga nega piriri mwa vigali mirongo mbali na hamano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okwanja gane kuyerere kombinga ukoshoki wopongomba ano saiba hejin kene una okuironge kidira omashongo ko marungura no marongo ke popeko jerongizo jo marungura na irwenji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatuma akalilipo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukapewa ompi ito yom tugumwe awedho apo hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo jom tumba wotungoka otakukakara o VIP cyber gala dina nuyere ronji wa maisha angizo no mapura apuro kwatasana nayo konraje tatu imwe onda tu ya tano omgoijeari nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarele pepanja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. So as I was saying before the commercial break, right, we'll use the example from the case that Chula Chula made aware to the public. When they said, it has come to our attention that One Africa TV is using Eshoke Chula Chula logo on Carling Black Label posters to promote live streams of our matches scheduled for this weekend, right? We want to make it clear that no agreement exists between One Africa and our management regarding the live streaming and promotion and regarding the SMS promotion of this particular radio station in question. So there's a few things to decipher in the statement that I was getting to before the commercial break. And I'm glad that Chula Chula is the one that put this out, because I'm glad that they put this out. But when they said that they put our logo on Carling Black Label posters to promote live streams. So here's how this works, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been following local football, you will have noticed that this particular media house has been making some of these matches available, league matches available to the public, quote unquote for free. I'll tell you now why it's actually not for free. Quote unquote for free. So what's happening here now is this media house has an agreement. Just an agreement, no financial compensation. And if anyone from these entities is listening and would like to prove me wrong, please, you are welcome to call in. The number in the studio is 083-288-4001. But what happens is, this media house has an agreement with the NFA, that is the Namibian Football Association, to say, okay, NFA, we have a particular infrastructure in place that can allow us to live stream your matches, or some of your matches, because it's not all the matches that they live stream. It's just a select few. So I'm sure in the agreement there was some kind of cap as to how many they could live stream, because the national broadcaster is also broadcasting some of these matches. So the Football Association has two agreements in place. One with the national broadcaster, and then the other with One Africa TV. Again, these agreements, there's a total of $0 and 0 Namibian cents exchanged between the two entities. And I know this how, because if there was, these complaints wouldn't be happening. And again, I'm privy to certain information, right? So now what's happening is, you know, One Africa and NBC, they get the green light from the NFA. And of course, the NFA, their hands are kind of tied, because if they say no, well, actually, I wouldn't say their hands are tied. They shouldn't be tied. Let me put it like that. Their hands shouldn't be tied, but the way it's presented to us now is that their hands are kind of tied, because as you know, they go through many financial troubles. And as we know, many Namibian people want, or the football community at least, want to be able to watch these matches for free. You know, because no one pays to watch NBC. No one pays to watch things on One Africa, really. You just pay your electricity bill and then you can watch these things. And maybe your Wi-Fi bill also. But, so what happens is, One Africa will say, okay, we have certain infrastructure in place that will allow us to stream your matches. Please sign here that we have the quote-unquote right to broadcast your matches. And NFA says yes. And we'll get to why they shouldn't have said yes, or shouldn't be saying yes under these conditions. Okay? So then what happens is, the media company will go to, in this case, Carling Black Label, and say, look, we have an agreement with our National Football Association. We're gonna be able to make X amount of matches available to the public. Here's our viewership numbers. And I put viewership numbers in quotes. But here's our viewership numbers. And we would like to put your logo on X amount of assets. That's every poster. That's, you know, I haven't tuned into any of these matches on the platforms, but I'm 99.999% sure that when you're watching it, there's certain advertisements coming through, not only from Carling Black Label, but from other companies as well. So this company is able to go to Carling Black Label and say, pay us X amount of dollars to have us, your logo basically front and center of every time we live stream these matches, right? So you can look it up now. If you see a flyer about these matches, it says brought to you by Carling Black Label and so on. And I'm sure when you're watching also, there's Carling Black Label advertisements coming through. And again, other company advertisements coming through as well. So what's happening is this company is able to basically double dip. They're able to collect money from Carling Black Label, which I'm certain is not a small amount of money. And then they're also able to go to other companies and say, look, we have this every weekend. We'll give you a 10-second ad here. We'll give you a 15-second ad here. So on and so on. So, and I mean, kudos to them, because the laws and infrastructure allow them to do this. They're not doing anything illegal, right? Maybe it should be illegal, but as it is now, they're not doing anything illegal. But here's where it becomes problematic. Because the teams that are being used by these media companies when they go to the negotiation table to meet these brands, in Namibia, these teams are getting no share of the pie. The only share that they're getting is, oh, we're giving you exposure. Oh, we're giving you visibility. And like I said, no one can buy anything with visibility or exposure. No soccer player will be paid at the end of the month with exposure in their bank account. Okay. So that's the only thing these guys are getting out of it. And that's what Chula Chula is saying in this statement, is that this is, one, it's not fair, and it's, simply speaking, it's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. But it is that way because we don't have certain infrastructure, certain policies, and certain expertise in place when it comes to this thing. And that's the same with the national broadcaster as well. And that's been their fight with African Stars for a very long time. Yeah, I'm sure if you guys remember, there was a time where you couldn't watch. There were no African Stars matches on the national broadcast. And that's because they said, you guys don't give us anything to put our matches on TV. You are allowed to sell adverts on our matches, on the backs of our matches, on the backs of our sweat, on the backs of our effort, on the backs of our brand, our glorious brand, our legendary brand. And in return, we get nothing. That's why for a long time, you couldn't watch African Stars on NBC. Because the Stars management was smart enough to say, no, this cannot happen. And basically, Chula Chula is doing the same now with African Stars. And I'm glad, but the fact that they said they are going to take action now, we'll need to see, as time will tell, what this action will consist of. But my point is, I would like to see this matter get put, whether it's in parliament or some kind of court, some kind of high court or something, because it's simply not correct that a company can generate X amount of revenue basically using the intellectual properties of others, right? There's an argument to be made that they're wrongfully using someone else's intellectual property for their own gain. That's, in fancy words, that's what Chula Chula said in the statement, because they were not made aware of any of this. There's a company running promotions, sponsored promotions, using their name, using their logos, and the company, and the team wasn't consulted in any way, shape, or form. That's not how it works in a professional setting. And so if we're going to parade around this term professionalization of sport, if we're going to talk about sport as, oh, the second priority of the government, it needs to reflect in some of these things, in some of these things that we're seeing on the ground on a daily basis, right? It's not enough to just say it. There needs to be action behind it as well. Like I said, we were supposed to have some guests to speak to us on this. But maybe we'll line them up for next week. But I'd love to hear your opinions as well. You're welcome to chime in at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Give me your thoughts on broadcast rights and the current situation of broadcast rights in Namibia. You know, and these are some of the things, you know, today these are some of the things I would like to hear get spoken about in Parliament, you know. Over the past few weeks, we've seen some comical things get discussed in Parliament, but these are some of the issues that we need to discuss, that the nation needs to see the leaders discuss, right? On the home run, which airs on Eagle FM every weekday, 4:30 to 6 p.m., excuse me, 4:30 to 6 p.m., hosted by Dwight and Helmut. One of the topics they talk about a lot is when it comes to intellectual property in Namibia. You know, and all the various laws when it comes to intellectual property, data ownership, things like that. That we don't really have in Namibia, right? Data protection, those kind of policies. That we don't really have in Namibia. All we have is, oh, it's coming. It's in the works for many, many years now. So who knows when these things will come, but it's all interconnected. And remember how I always used to start this show with that sport is a reflection of society. I just outlined in our society, we don't have some of these things in place. That's why it's now playing out in the sporting world. That's why Chula Chula has to put out this statement to say, our brand, our intellectual property is being used, one, without our consent, and two, with zero compensation for said usage. Right? Like I said, all they're getting is quote-unquote exposure. And in an article I read recently, the African Stars chairman said, at the very least, national broadcaster, at the very least, give us free adverts on your radio station or something, if you're going to be using our brand like that. We'll be back right on the other side of this.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone update. In the Liverpool Tottenham fixture, it is now 1-0 for Liverpool. Dominic Szoboszlai with the goal in the 18th minute. So as things stand, Liverpool are in fourth place on the table on 51 points. Tottenham, like I said, relegation might be a reality for Tottenham, which would be absolutely, absolutely crazy. But before the commercial break, I was talking about broadcasting rights and how crucial those are for a league anyway. And in the beginning of my diatribe, I was talking about the agreement that's in place between, you know, these media entities and the Namibian Football Association. Obviously, I don't know the details of the agreements, but I do know, like I said, if anyone wants to challenge me on this, call in and tell me that I'm wrong, prove to me that I'm wrong. But there's no exchange of money between these two entities, right? And this leads into the conversation of, if you recall, there was this whole debate for years about the Namibia's Football League being ran independently, especially in regard to the commercial matters of the league, right? And what this means is, basically, that the NFA itself, you know, and its various members of leadership shouldn't be the ones sitting at the negotiating table with, whether that's Deb Marine, whether that's FNB, whether that's Nedbank, whoever these companies are that MTC, that sponsor Namibian football. It shouldn't be the same people that are in the standard leadership positions at the association. There should be people in place whose job it is every day, 8 to 5 or 8 to whenever. Their job is to generate revenue for the Namibian Football Association. Their job is to operate the commercial side of the Namibian Football Association. Their job is to run the commercial side of the Premier League. No. That's what the call for independence was when it comes to the Namibian Football Association. That's what the whole conversation was about. And why? Because that's how it works everywhere else in the world. You know, those of you remember when the English Premier League was called the Barclays Premier League, it wasn't the same people that negotiated that deal weren't the same people that are in whatever head positions you can think of in a football association. There's a whole independent body within the association that deals with just those things. And that's what the local football teams, local football coaches, local owners were saying, that this doesn't exist in Namibia and it should change. And of course, I'm in full agreement of that as well, because had that been in place, which they say it's going to happen next season, so we'll see if the same situation will play out again next season. But had that been in place, there's no situation where someone whose job it is to generate revenue will agree to a media company coming to them and saying, we're going to stream your football matches and give you nothing while we collect everything. It simply would not happen. If those people were put in place, they would not sell the league's broadcasting rights for a total of $0 and 0 cents, right? Like I said, it simply wouldn't happen. Because that body that's in place would also be in turn responsible for creating a model that distributes said revenue to the members of the league. That's the teams of the league, right? And like I said, broadcasting rights play a major, major role into the money that teams in a league receive. Now, before, we've spoken about the PSL and the money that clubs get from the PSL each month. A huge bulk of that money comes from broadcasting rights that the independent body of the league, the commercial side of the league, was able to negotiate. Keyword, negotiate. They didn't just accept anything that a media company came to them with. They said, we need X, Y, and Z so we can pay our members X, Y, and Z so they can pay their players X, Y, and Z. You know, the bulk of that comes from the broadcasting rights. And in South Africa, we also know about the naming rights of the league. That money also comes from there as well. So, you know, if I had to use the example of when the league was called the Demarine Namibia Premier League. As we know, Demarine's sponsorship, contributed towards the prize money that teams got at the end of the season. Contributed to the travel allowances and so on that teams got at the end of the season. If I'm not mistaken, the sponsorship was worth, I'd have to double check, but in the region of 20 million per year. I'll double check that in just a moment. But whatever the amount was, it still really wasn't enough, because, you know, there's a lot of expenses. And when you only have one real commercial partner, it becomes difficult to disperse that one lump sum payment from your one commercial partner to all, how many teams do we have? 16 teams in the league. Again, we don't have to look far. We don't have to look to South Africa. We don't have to look to England. We don't have to look to the USA. We don't have to look to Tanzania and so on. Within the country, we can look at a federation that has figured it out. Not figured it out, has just done the right thing when it comes to professionalizing their sport. That is Cricket Namibia. So, like I said, I would like to see this conversation happen in the, what do they call it, the August House. I'd like to see this conversation happen in the eyes of the public, because I feel this is something that the public doesn't really fully understand, doesn't understand the weight of this, doesn't understand that, you know, these teams are essentially being taken advantage of, really. And like I said, it's not, technically it's not illegal, so it's not like it's necessarily illegal activity happening, but it's still wrong nonetheless that a company can receive money. Just think about it in your personal capacity. If someone were to take the video, maybe you're a content creator or something or whatever it is. If someone were to take pictures of you, videos of you, and make money off those pictures, make money off those videos, without your consent, and then two, without an agreement in place to say, you get X amount of whatever revenue it is I'm generating off your back. How would you feel? That's exactly, essentially, what is happening here with our local footballing teams that we all love so much, right? I mean, social media, I saw the UNAM Stadium packed for, I believe it was Ongos against Chula Chula, if I'm not mistaken. You know, there were not enough seats in the house for that. So clearly there is an appetite for local football. How big it is, we don't really truly know. Truly know. But big enough. Big enough, like I said, for these companies to be able to repackage it and sell it to these, to your likes of Carling Black Label. So with that said, I want us to listen to a brief TED talk about this topic in question. This is from 2 years ago, where he spoke about the future of sport, the future of sports broadcasting and digital media. This is by a gentleman named Mr. Rodri Williams, who is who works for a company called Alcast Digital Qatar. Right. So let's get into that, and I'll see you on the other side of this.
A very good evening to you all. It's a great honour to be here and to be invited to be part of TEDx here. I grew up in a media family. So from the age of two, that was the year I made my first live television debut. Right, let's get straight to where I come from. I'm dedicating this short lecture to my late father, Aaron Ogwen Williams, OBE. My father was a true visionary. He was talking about digital television before anybody else knew what digital was. He helped develop broadcasting in Wales, in other Gaelic nations, in Scotland and in Ireland, and wrote many white papers for the government in the United Kingdom. I spent my whole life looking at my father. He was my mentor. He was my inspiration. He still is. But he used to say one thing to me all the time, because we used to sit and watch things that he liked and I liked, but he was always thinking a step further. How do we look further down the line? What are the trends going to be? And I always remember this. He used to say to me, look, if you're trying to see or get a feel for a vision for something in the future, you have to look at the younger generation. That's obvious. You have to understand them. Yes, it's far more than just knowing who they are, though. You need to explore their mindset. This is the tricky one. It's all very well saying, yeah, I understand them. Do you? Would you think like them? Can you think like them? Can you make decisions like them? And this is why he became an inspiration for many young television producers and companies, and many of them became very successful indeed, because he decided that the way to move forward was to think like those who are younger. And it's easier than it sounds. Who am I? Okay. I'm a broadcaster. I had a very good introduction there from Michael. I don't need to say much more. I joined Alcast Sports Channels in 2011. My main job, my bread and butter, is as a producer and a presenter of live English language programs for Alcast Sports Channels here in Qatar. So it keeps us busy with the local league, the Qatar Stars League, and so forth. Then in 2018, I was asked to develop and create an online digital hub for Alcast Sports, which we call Alcast Digital. I'm now editor-in-chief of Alcast Digital. My job then was that I actually hired the whole team. I had to hire. Suddenly, I'm hiring millennials and to Generation X, towards the end of Gen X, coming into Generation Z. And I found it quite difficult to do as my father said, start thinking like them. So I started Alcast Digital, and I've been fired twice from the very platform that I created fired twice by the very people that I hired because I couldn't quite understand why they were thinking differently to me. And now I'm back because I'm listening to my father and he says, you have to understand their mindset. And through that way, things are becoming a lot better for me. That's how I see it anyway. So that's who I am. And as I'm going through this little short lecture, I'm talking myself out of a job. I genuinely believe this scenario will not be around for too much longer. That doesn't mean to say I'm going to sit around and I've made enough money to retire. I have to reinvent myself. I have to think of other ways. So where is the future of sports broadcasting? I touched on it before. Generation Z, Gen Z. We hear plenty about it. Who are they? So we all know now it's mainly 1997 to 2012. This is Generation Z. What are they all about? Colloquially known as Zoomers, the demographic cohort succeeding millennials and preceding Generation Alpha. I love looking at them, and this is something they're not. It's digital natives. I love this. Not necessarily, oh, they're digitally literal. They're digital natives. That means from the moment they were born, their life has been about digital ingestion of information, whatever it may be. Slow living. Members of Generation Z tend to live more slowly than their predecessors. When they were their age, better at delaying gratification than their counterparts from the 1960s, it says, despite concerns to the contrary. Gen Z are also more focused about their careers and future job prospect. Who would have thought? I thought that was heading downwards. My daughter's 15 years of age. She's developed a skill. She's a fantastic rower, river rower. She's actually training and competing with people 2 years older than her. She's doing very, very well. I'm so proud of her. But she wants to go to college. She wants to emulate her mother and go to Oxford. So I said, Jodie, keep rowing. Keep rowing. Be brilliant at rowing. And Oxford will come calling for you. That's how I see life. No, not my daughter. She phoned me last night. And she said, Dad, 15 now. Dad, I'm thinking of taking time out next year from rowing. I want to focus on my studies. 15. Generation Z. Generation Z and sports media. Okay, let's look at the two big events in the last year. The FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022, the 2023 Rugby World Cup, prestigious international sporting events, boasting a global fan base that transcends borders, as we saw. What's different about the modern audience is they want to have their voice heard. Me, part of, look at the Chris Robling there, a friend of mine, Matt Coleman, who works with Stats Perform from Australia, works with me here as well. If we're sitting down and we're watching sport, we like to have a chat. I like to have my opinion heard, but it's fine. I'll just do it with my friends. Well, how about a couple of orange juices, have a meal, let's chat about the sport. This isn't enough. This is not enough going forward. They want to feel part of a community. They want to give their opinion, but on a larger scale, on a different scale. It's now time that we all, if we're involved in broadcasting, certainly digital broadcasting, digital media, it's time to harvest that opinion. And I put down on the bottom here, unless this audience receives the content that they crave, then we will continue to see the much publicized disengagement from live sports consumption. Goodness me, how worrying is that? How worrying is that for somebody like Sky Sports? Huge announcement yesterday. Sky Sports paid £6.7 billion. £6.7 billion for 4 years of English Premier League football. They better find out who's watching and they better find that audience and keep them. Generation Z will soon become the most influential people on the planet here. The generation yet. More than $3.5 trillion in buying power. By 2030, 6 years away. And then suddenly, if we've not been thinking and if we've not thought about how we engage the next audience, we're losing out. So it makes them a generation worth competing for. Now, these are the slightly worrying trends if you're in sports broadcasting or sports digital media. 53% of Gen Zers identify as sports fans. 53%. Compared to 63% of all adults and 69% of millennials. We're already behind the eight ball. We've already got problems. Gen Zers are half as likely as millennials to watch live sports regularly and twice as likely never to watch. I'd be worried if I just spent £6.7 billion, I'd be worried on, right, we need to be really focused on how we catch that audience and how we keep it. It's about engagement. How do we engage? It's all in sport. It's about the big moments. It's about, no, I've put down football and rugby, all sports. It's the big moments. That's what pulls us into and keeps us engaged in sports. The controversy, the tries, the goals. In football now, it's all about VAR. We hear more about VAR than we do the goals. But it's a talking point. It's engaging. And these moments are the ones that are important to rights owners and broadcasters. And that's why they spend so much money on them. The research points to a 4-second window of opportunity. 4 seconds. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do something every 4 seconds, but I'll show you in a moment. It's incredible now how traditional broadcasts have started to look at engagement from the very first time. From the first whistle, there is always looking to engage, seeking ways of engaging. 4-second window. You better make that window count. A solution that has the capacity to harness and exploit these moments will bring value to the platform in terms of loyalty, retention, and let's not forget the important one, monetization. So how are sports going about it? The term that's used quite a lot now is gamification. What is gamification? You can read it behind me. The strategic attempt to enhance systems, services, organizations, activities by creating similar experiences to those experienced when playing games in order to motivate and engage users. So in fact, I see it. I also run an F&B business here in Qatar. As if I haven't got enough on my plate, but I enjoy it. And I see a big difference already between young Americans who are coming in to relax and enjoy themselves. I have a pool table. And as I'm referring back to the time how I like to sit with my friends and discuss sport, I have these young Americans come in to go and play, come and play pool. And they always say to me, "Hey, Rod, you got the football on?" I say, "Yeah, I've got the football." And it's always college football. College football bigger than NFL. They want to see college football. "Yes, I've got it for you. No problem. Do you want it on by the pool table?" "Yeah, fantastic. I'll put the commentary on for you." No. "No need. Keep the music on." "Keep the music on?" No. "We want to listen to the commentary. That's what I want to do." But am I thinking right? That's not what they want. They already have different ways of engaging with the game. Not by listening to myself and my friends and my analyst and my ex-international talking about football and what we think is going to happen or soccer. They are engaging whether if it's legal and they can bet, they will do that. If they can pass a comment in what they thought, was that the best pass? They are engaged in a conversation with the broadcaster and with other viewers around the world. So a former friend and colleague of mine, and he was head of English language programming here in Qatar for a while at BN Sports, Jonty Whitehead, he has taken up the reins. And I'm just going to show you an example now, a little clip from their reel on where gamification is heading with sports digital media.
SportBuff is the best-in-class proprietary broadcast overlay technology, delivering the next generation of sports fan engagement. The SportBuff interactive layer sits directly over the broadcast, enabling gamification, live polls, predictions, trivia, purchasing, real-time betting, messaging, and more. Every buff is worth points, letting fans play with and compete against their friends on live leaderboards, giving our partners the ability to engage, retain and monetize audiences on their own platforms. Sportbuff offers match pundits and commentators an opportunity to interact directly with fans and get real-time responses. Our first screen experience allows our partners to innovate their digital output with no additional production resource requirements.
Sportbuff is just one company. They're all over the world. This is what they're aiming to do, to capture the audience, to engage the audience. Somebody said to me today, you know, your mobile phone, I'm starting to develop separation anxiety now. I've left my phone for 15 minutes. And this is how we all are. And this is how Generation Z and going forward will consume media and consume sports events. I'll just give you an example of a traditional show, Match of the Day. It's a famous football show in the United Kingdom broadcast on the BBC. I know Gary Lineker. I like the team that do it. Who wants to watch a program at 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday? I've already seen the goals. I've already discussed the controversy with my friends, on groups, with others. So that is what's happening in digital sports media. Then you've got them. Turn the fans into gold. I'm sounding like some crazy marketing man who wants to make loads of money out of this, but this is the reality. It's difficult here. I'm trying to get through this quickly now. I work here for a state broadcaster. So the mindset is not about money. It's not about commercialization. But I think it's time we need to look at that. We can't always depend on the money coming from the very kind sovereign fund, the sovereign wealth. Let's make things commercial. Drive sponsorship dollars and fan engagement using interactive content features. Keep viewers glued throughout your broadcast with interactive contact experiences. Content, I beg your pardon. Just very quickly, I met a company in Cannes in the south of France in MIP TV back in 2018-19. And they wanted to come to Qatar and they wanted us to take this on board. And this is not a criticism of Qatar because they were not doing what my father said. It's difficult. You look at it, you're impressed with something. This is the way forward. We all know it. Can we do it? Because we think, well, will our friends like that? Maybe they won't. But maybe we have to. You know, this is where the content, the engagement, and you bringing sponsorship, this is where people pay to be on your platform. This is how you make money. This is how the wheel goes round. So this company is called Megaphone TV. Now we're going away from sport here. But back and remember what I said about that 4-second window, okay? So this is not a sports broadcast. This is a standard local television broadcast in the United States for a Thanksgiving day, okay? And they've got a parade of floats that's going to come down the street, okay? So this is what they're using in the United States. Every network in the United States uses this. Literally, a gentleman and a woman who are presenting, they say, "Hi, welcome to the show, and it's exciting today because we've got some new floats on the show." That's all they've said is hello. And you can vote and choose the best float. Thanks to Michigan First Credit Union, you can decide on the best float. So simply, within 4 seconds, you're sitting at home, you don't know what to do. Hang on, I'm in the show. I can make a decision here. And if you can go and check Megaphone TV. I'm not here to be a commercial. I'm just telling you about my experiences. These are the people I've met, so this is what I know. And this is what they do. This is how you engage. This is how you keep people engaged. And it's across all genres, not just sport, entertainment, whatever it is, music. You can do it through this. The technology is there, and it's time that we all jump on board to avoid being left behind when our Gen Zers become the most influential generation in just 6 years' time. So I'll just wrap it up now with a quote. As Al Michael says, sports broadcasting is not just about the game. Not about the game itself, but about the stories that unfold, the emotions that are felt, and the connections that are made. It has the ability to capture the essence of human drama and bring it to life. Thank you very much.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was a brief presentation, let's call it, from Rodri Williams, who works for a broadcaster over in Qatar. And Mr. Rodri basically eloquently put what I was talking about, that I'll get into on the other side of this brief commercial break that we have coming up, and then we'll wrap up the show, and I'll see you all next week. But we still have a few minutes left. We'll be back right after this.
Pogora okuhinga wari kohio dungo peha joko hinga wuri kohio dungo pogora okuhinga onda poji yuthwa peha joko hinga onda poya pitirira pogora okutaguru kira po mataguru kiro peha joko pita owara shampoka pogora ishewe okurundura omataira we peha joko kutu pogora okuninga shukasho mojira mo patevetu eto kupita omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Before the commercial break, you were listening to a gentleman named Rodri Williams. Okay? And he basically eloquently put what I was trying to say for the past hour or so. And one thing that he brought up that I totally forgot to mention in this whole broadcasting rights thing is the acquiring of broadcasting rights. You know, I kind of alluded to it, but I didn't directly say it. When I was talking about how it is a revenue generator for teams, for leagues, the reason is it is a revenue generator is because whatever media company or whatever company in general, they have to acquire the rights before they have the ability to broadcast these things. They have to pay for the right to use them. That's essentially what, not essentially, that is what it means when we say broadcast rights. It's the fee someone pays to have the right to broadcast something. Right. And as I explained earlier, right now, what's happening here in our nation, in football in particular, we're focusing on the football side of things. What's happening now is these broadcast rights are just being given away on a handshake to say, oh, I'm giving you exposure. Give me your broadcast rights. And then our association is saying, yes, here you go. And in what do they get in return? Nothing. So as Roger explained, these companies pay hundreds of millions, and in some cases, billions of dollars for the right to broadcast certain things. Why do they do that? It's because they have forecasted, they have run various data models and so on. And their financial departments have forecasted that if you pay X amount of dollars for these broadcast rights, you will have an asset that you can repackage X amount of times. And over the course of a season, or let's say it's a 3-year agreement, over the course of the agreement, you will make your money back in a year and a half or something. Because of the amount of ads that you are going to sell, that you are able to sell because you own, you bought, you paid for certain broadcast rights. But what's happening here is you just get given broadcast rights, then you can get a sponsor, and then on top of that, you can sell ads also. So in our equation, let's say the standard equation is, I want to put it in simple terms. The standard equation all over the world is pay for broadcast rights and then recoup your money plus your profits over time. But in Namibia, the part about paying for broadcast rights is completely left out. A company doesn't have to worry about that. We just get them for free. And then, basically, we get to make money, or media companies in Namibia get to make money simply for being media companies. That's it. They don't have to pay for any broadcast rights, nothing like that. And why this is allowed to happen, I don't know. Slightly speaking, I mean, you know, obviously I'm working for a media company as I'm speaking here, so maybe you could say I'm speaking against my own interests, but it's just wrong how it's happening. Plain and simple. It's just wrong. And I'm glad Roger brought that up, because I didn't discuss that earlier. And it would actually be very interesting. Obviously, we're never gonna know how much these companies are making from being gifted these broadcast rights. But it will be very interesting to know how much do you think the Namibian Premier League is worth in terms of broadcast rights now, per season, let's say, for example. You know, are we talking hundreds of thousands? Are we talking millions? Are we talking tens of thousands? We don't know. And we don't know why. Because there's no structure in place that would help us get this information, or that would require us to have this information. There's no one negotiating on behalf of the association to try and find this value. You know, maybe the first broadcast deal, let's just say for argument's sake, would be worth 500,000. You know, something like 500,000 per year for 2 years, something like that. Let's say $1 million deal like that. Then maybe after the 2 years, the association or the independent body sees, oh, there was actually X amount of money was generated. Let's say maybe 2 million was generated. So next year, when we get to the table again, instead of asking for $1 million total, maybe now we're asking for $1 million per year. But you can't get there if every single year you're giving it away for free for certain media company to be the only one profiting. Okay? And that's what we talk about when we say professionalization of sport. We're not only talking about the athletes themselves becoming professionals. We're talking about the whole ecosystem becoming professional. The athlete cannot become a professional if there's no money to pay an athlete. Then you're just very dedicated to your hobby. That's it. You're not earning any money from it. And of course, it's through no fault of your own, as the athlete now is speaking. But if we're going to use this term professionalization, it has to happen on all levels. All levels involved need to be on the same page. And as we can see, that is not what is happening at the moment, unfortunately. Update in the Liverpool. Tottenham fixture is still 1-0 for Liverpool. Dominic Szoboszlai with the goal. And if you'd like to chime in to today's show, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. We are now going to take a quick musical break. We will be right back.
Mwamino na mengete, habino kono mate, habimweno haite, owela wangete, wamepino kapate, okala shakikwete, ngegega beno mbete, enangala bemate, likape kutaste, eshe duro kutesta, enekulutele kata, tumpulutele la, ino dimwa shongela, edisi keno ngenda, hadipe hako penda, no mende oshe kundu, ame hane mkundu mo. Let's go.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As we wrap up here on the Eagle Sports Zone, it is still 1-0 in the Liverpool-Tottenham fixture. Don't forget, tomorrow the Villager will be published. If you haven't subscribed yet, simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Let us know you'd like to become a subscriber. And make sure, this is a crucial step, make sure to save the number as a contact. The reason you need to save it is so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will get it delivered to your mobile device free of charge, and you'll have access to the latest and greatest in business and economics, policy development, trade-related matters, agricultural-related matters, sporting matters, everything you need to know to become a smarter citizen. Make sure to follow the Villager newspaper as well on all their social media pages. That is the Villager newspaper on Facebook. That is the Villager newspaper on Instagram. That is the Villager newspaper on X as well. And like I said, don't forget to follow the WhatsApp channel as well. And yes, this has been another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will see you same time, same place next weekend, Independence Weekend. On our 36th birthday, we'll see what. Okay, I won't reveal, but we'll have a good episode for you on Sunday as well. Take care, and I'll see you next week Sunday. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. Oh,
Ah,